Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jonah, please. And we commence to read in the chapter 2 at verse number 1. Jonah chapter 2, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word, please, in this passage of God's truth. That's Jonah chapter 2, commencing to read at 1, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And God will add his blessing, as we know, to his precious word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. No doubt, as we have already read the first chapter of the book of Jonah, we will have been impressed just how quickly that Jonah was confronted with a mighty storm. There that storm rose in the sea, and God cast a storm into the midst of the sea. But when we come to chapter 2, I believe that we're seeing another storm. But the storm is different. It's not the storm that's in the sea. It is the storm that is inside the heart of Jonah. And in that storm, Jonah prays. And as we will study this morning, as God gives us help, I believe that we will notice that as we look, we'll identify, well, first of all, where he prayed. You'll notice the Bible tells us there in verse number 2, it says in verse 2 of chapter 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And so therefore we see here that it is right down in a very secluded spot where God gets Jonah's undivided attention. Now, there was nothing else to take Jonah's attention at this time. God has got Jonah's undivided attention. You know, sometimes God has got to do that in our lives. God has got to take us away from all the things that we're involved in, because quite often God's wanting to speak to us, and we are not willing to listen. And sometimes God, in his grace and in his sovereign purpose and plan, God has got to take us, it says in the scriptures, come ye apart and rest a while. God has got to take us away to perhaps a secluded spot. And God has got to take us away from all the busyness of life to get our undivided attention. Now let me tell you this. When I look at this place where Jonah was taken to, it is not a good place to live in, but it's a good place to learn. And friend, let me tell you this. In our experiences, when God takes us away to get our undivided attention, it may not be an easy spot to be in. It may not be an easy circumstance to be in, but I'll tell you this, although it's not a good place to live in, it is a good place to learn in. And I tell you, it's a blessing when God gets our attention. And when God gets our undivided attention. The psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. We are so busy today, even sometimes in the best of works, that God's people do not take the time just to withdraw and be still and let God speak. You know, preachers have got to be careful, Because you can be called upon to give out so much, and yet, friend, let me tell you, you need time to spend before God to take in. Because if you're not taking in, then you can't give out that which God has given to you. And so therefore we've got to be still, and we've got to know that He is God. You know, you can pray anywhere. Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, whenever I think about it, Daniel prayed at home. Peter prayed on the top of the house. Lydia prayed by the riverside. Paul prayed in the prison. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed on the mountaintop. And here we find that Jonah prays in the belly of the fish. And so we're going to look at just where he prayed. Secondly, it's also, as we study this, we'll see why he prayed. Why did he pray? Now look at verse 2 again of chapter 2. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Let's be honest, that's why he prayed. He was in the midst of affliction. He was in the midst of trouble. And then God taught him in the midst of trouble to do something that he should have been doing all the time. But he had gotten away from what he should have been doing. And so we find that God, in the midst of his situation, he talks about that God took him into the place of affliction. And there he was made contemplate the lessons that God was teaching him. You know, sometimes you and I can be swallowed up by our circumstances. Is it true this morning that you've come to God's house and your circumstances, friend, they have swallowed you up? And from your rise in the morning till you go to bed at night, whatever those circumstances are, it's somehow the circumstances that you find yourself in is all you think about all day. You never sit down, you never step apart and just dwell upon what God is speaking and what God is doing in your lives, your life, but you're so caught up and swallowed up by your circumstances. Well, in certain ways, Jonah was swallowed up by his circumstances. But I'll tell you, in the midst of his circumstances, that was the place that Jonah was taught to pray, to learn the lessons that God was wanting to teach him. And as we studied, we'll notice here that in the midst of his affliction, he was in a place where all human hope was gone. Notice it says, out of the belly of hell. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. The word hell there is the word Sheol. It's the Old Testament word which refers to the grave. Listen, friend, humanly speaking, it was as if that he was as good as dead. All human hope was taken away from him. In many ways, one could say he was in the depths of despair. We read this morning in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 107, and in one of those verses, it talked about being at wit's end. Have you ever got to that place? Well, to be honest, friend, you have been so swallowed up by your circumstances that you have been standing at wit's end corner and you didn't know where next to go and you didn't know where to turn. Sometimes God in His sovereignty, friend, has got to get you to the place because you'll not listen to Him anywhere else. You are so caught up with living, friend, and the life of making it for yourself that you haven't time to listen to God. And God wants to get your attention. And God is wanting to teach you things. And God is wanting to mature your life. But you haven't time to listen to God. You listen to the world, you listen to others, but you won't listen to God. And so God in His sovereign purpose, friend, let me tell you, He can turn the water sprout into a wilderness. And sometimes God has got to take things away from us because God's wanting to get our attention. God wants us to listen to Him. And so here in the midst of this in the depths of despair, out of the belly of hell, cried I. That's why did he cry. But you know, in the midst of this, we'll see that Jonah is being taught lessons, because he sees, in the midst of this all, he sees the providence of God. And I tell you, that's a wonderful lesson to learn. That in the midst of all your circumstances, in the midst of all that God is doing in your life, you see the hand of God, friend. You say, where do you find that, preacher? Look at verse 3. See, there's plenty in this little book of Jonah. Maybe you've just read it and skipped over it. He said this, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about." And then it says, "All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me." Friend, listen, "thou hast cast me." Let me tell you, he knew this wasn't chance. He didn't look upon this foolishly as those who say, "Ah, it's a bit of bad luck." He didn't say, "Well, here is fate that has caused the dilemma that I am in. He didn't blame the sailors. What did he say? He says, "God, thou hast cast me into the deep. And you see those billows, those are thy billows. And you see those are thy waves." For in the midst of all of this, friend, he sees the hand of God. He sees the hand of God. Tell me, have you seen the hand of God in the midst of your circumstance this morning? You say to me, "Preacher, you know, things haven't been working out the way that I planned it." That's true, friend, the way you planned it. But what about God's will for your life? What about doing His will instead of yours? What about serving Him instead of serving yourself? What about living for Him instead of living for the flesh? What about saying to God, "God, what wilt thou have me to do?" You say things haven't been working out the way I planned it. Yes, friend, sometimes God has to bring the waves, and sometimes God has to bring the billows. And He acknowledges here, this isn't chance. This is the hand of God. It's an amazing thing. He feels something else. If you go to verse number 4, he said, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight." I'm cast out of thy sight. Or I'm cast out of thy favor. You know, every wave that came against Jonah when he went down into that water, I believe that it has lashed against him. The waves seemed to howl in his ear. "You know, Jonah, you deserve this." Friend, and so he did. "You deserve this." But notice what he says. He says, "I am cast out of thy sight." Isn't that what he wanted? Isn't that what he really wanted? Didn't the Bible tell us that Jonah's purpose was to get away from the presence? Verse number 3, verse chapter 1. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get out of God's sight. And you know what God did? God gave it to him. He gave him the feeling that he was cast out of the sight of God, friend. You know what he found out? He found out what he thought was the best way. He found out it wasn't so good after all. You see, the devil told him, "Jonah, all you've got to do is get out of the presence of the Lord. Get out of the sight of God. And Jonah, listen, you make it, man. Now you'll enjoy out of the presence of God. You'll enjoy it." My, hasn't the devil told that to many a child of God that is backslidden? What about the promises the devil made to you? Told you, "My, get back to the places where you used to go, the places of entertainment, the places of the world. And my, you'll enjoy it." I'll tell you, he found it wasn't the pleasant pathway that he thought. Or it wasn't the pleasant pathway that the devil promised. Because you see, the devil always pays out in counterfeit money, friend. We see not only where he prayed and why he prayed, we notice what he prayed. I'm going to tell you something. Do you see in the belly of a fish here, Jonah had a serious prayer meeting. And I'll tell you, that's what it'll take for some of us. Because before some of God's children get serious about the place of prayer, it will take God to put them in to the billows and the waves and the belly of the fish. There's many of God's people, and I'll tell you this, they play light with a place of prayer. And they have no desire to come to the place of prayer. Let me tell you, friend, you'll pray all right, because God in His grace and God in His providence and God in His mercy, God will take you to the belly of the fish. And God will make you pray. This is a serious prayer meeting. And I'll tell you this, we as God's people need to get serious about the place of prayer. I want to tell you something else. There was nothing shallow about this prayer. There was nothing meaningless about this prayer. There was nothing cold about this prayer. There was nothing formal about this prayer. I tell you, he was driven to pray. And what does he say? I cried unto the Lord. Dead earnest. And I sometimes wonder, friend, in our lives, what will God have to do to bring us to the place where we'll be dead serious about praying to the God that we profess to love. And the God we profess to serve. Now, whenever I look at Jonah here in this chapter number 2, I read a little division. I thought it was a very good division of this chapter. It said, Jonah raised his voice. He certainly did. When he cried unto God, he raised his voice. And then secondly, in the chapter, you'll notice that Jonah renewed his vision. He says in this chapter that I will look again. And then you'll notice that Jonah remembered his vocation. Because it says in verse 7, I remembered the Lord. He remembered the Lord. And so I want us to notice here as we consider this morning, and I pray that God's speaking to your heart, let's just notice just when this all happened. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2 and take the first verse. And take the first word. Then Jonah prayed. Then. Now when was it? When did Jonah pray, friend? To be honest, Jonah prayed when God disciplined him. When God chastised him. It took discipline to get Jonah to pray. Now you'll notice that the seamen and the mariners and the captain of the ship, they begged Jonah to pray in chapter 1. But you notice what it didn't say. It didn't say Jonah prayed. They wanted Jonah to pray, but it doesn't say that Jonah prayed. But the Word of God says something. He says, then Jonah prayed. Why didn't Jonah pray before, friend? Let me tell you, be honest. Jonah was living in rebellion and he got out of the habit of praying, one could say. He was in rebellion. And I tell you, disobedience in the life of a child of God will lead to prayerlessness. And if a child of God is walking disobediently, friend, let me tell you, they'll stop praying. And stop praying. Why do people stop praying in the place of prayer? I'll tell you, there has to be something wrong when someone who has had a desire to pray and has had a longing to pray stops praying. There's got to be something that's wrong. Why would a person who has desired to pray, believes in the power of prayer, why would the person stop praying? Of course, praying's not easy. Let's be honest. The devil will fight you in prayer. The devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil wants you to sit in the prayer meeting, friend, let me tell you. And he wants people to keep their mouths shut. And the old flesh will want you to keep your mouth shut and pray. My old thought, you know, I don't feel like praying tonight. What stupidity. What stupidity. I don't feel like praying tonight. If there ever was a time, friend, you needed to pray, it's certainly then. You need to pray. The Bible says that we're to pray everywhere, and we're to pray always. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And friend, you are entering into temptation. If you're sitting there, and there's room for you to pray, and you're keeping silent, you're entering into temptation to remain silent. And what do you need to do to resist the devil? You've got to pray. It is said, the man who prays most effectively in a crisis, listen to this, the man who prays most effectively in a crisis is the man who prays before it. Or as another said, and I like this statement, brother, get your anchor down before the storm begins. Get your anchor down before the storm begins. There's many a person, let me tell you, and they're throwing the anchor down just when they're in the midst of the storm. Get your anchor down, brother, before the storm begins. Sister, get your anchor down. You see what happens here? It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. And he said, mine affliction. In other words, God's chastening had brought him to his knees. What does that mean, friend? God had broken Jonah. He was broken. You know the principle of brokenness, friend. Brokenness is the process where God brings us to the end of ourselves and into that place of total trust and love and submission toward Him. And so often we're just like Jonah, because let me tell you, friend, what was happening in Jonah's life, he preferred independence. He wanted to run and do what he wanted to do, independent of God. Let me tell you, God demands dependence. Not a lot of people in God's work, friend, let me tell you, and they think they can live independent. That's why some folks will say, I wouldn't join a church because I believe I should just be independent. Let me tell you, you're not an island, neither am I. I tell you, God demands us to be dependent. There has to be a dependence. He doesn't want us to lean on our own understanding. The Word of God says, lean not on your own understanding. But God wants you to acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And God has got to break us. And God has got to bring us to the place of brokenness. And God brought him to the place of brokenness there in the belly of a fish. You know what the Bible says? A broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Let me ask a question this morning to you, child of God. I'm speaking to my own heart too. Let me tell you this. Don't you ever think I'm preaching to you and forgetting about me. The Spirit of God's applying this to me as well. Is our will broken? Are we really broken before God, friend? Or are we living lives of selfishness? Are we living lives of self? Or has God brought us to the place of brokenness? What will God need to do to bring me and you to the place of brokenness? You see, God, it says there in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction. The rod of affliction was what inspired Jonah to pray. See, Jonah realized something. He realized that he was being afflicted because of his sin. When I was thinking about that, I just said, Lord, thank you that Jonah didn't do like many other people do. Because the Word of God says this. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And you know, there are people who despise the chastening of God. And they rise up in rebellion about what God is doing. Let me tell you, Jonah was broken. Instead of despising the chastening of God, his ear was opened to what God was saying. That's what you need. Our hearts need to open, friend. Oh, that God would open our hearts today, that we would listen to what God is saying, that we might, instead of getting the rod of affliction and my hardening, I think of many a young child, you see, whenever father chastises his child because he loves him, and the young child just gets a stubborn rebellious, he'll not break me. Let me tell you, there's many of God's children living lives like that today. And God is chastising, and God is rebuking, and God is dealing with their hearts. And be honest, they're despising the chastening of the Lord. They will not let God speak. They don't want to hear what God is saying. They don't want to bend their will to the will of God. Why? Because they are so used to living their own lives. Let me tell you, God will have to break you. My friend, God will do it because he loves you. And the Holy Ghost says, don't you despise what God's doing in your life. Don't despise when God is speaking. Turn to Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm. People say it's a long psalm. I was in a prayer service the other evening, and Brother Rodney Mitchell was leading it, and he was speaking to Brother Ryan. And he said to Ryan, we're going to sing a chorus at the something at the beginning of the prayer service. He says, Brother, we're going to sing Psalm 119. And I think Ryan's eyes opened up. He didn't know what was happening to him, but he said, oh, definitely not the whole of the 176 verses. But friend, let me tell you, Psalm 100, it's a very interesting psalm. I say this just in passing. There are 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. You'll notice that there are 8 verses in every one of them. And then you will find that that's not just laid down without significance, because it's what one could call an alphabetical psalm. Because in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. And every one of these stanzas begin with a letter of the alphabet, or the Hebrew alphabet. And in the Psalm 119, when you come to the verse number 67, this is what the psalm said. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now ask this morning in our hearts, friend, can we honestly say that? Can we honestly say, I'm in there, preacher. That's me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And the psalmist acknowledges he went astray. It is so easy today to be sidetracked. I think of so many of God's people. I think of so many of believers, friend, that once had a happiness from the Lord. They used to rejoice in God. I'll tell you, they were a blessing to be among. Because, I tell you, they were so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got their eyes on other things. And I tell you, they're as miserable as sin today. And you never see them laugh. You never see them rejoice anymore. It's just there's a deadness over their Christian experience, and they've lost the joy. And I tell you, the devil would want you to lose your joy. And when you lose your joy in Christ, friend, and you get your eyes on him, I'll tell you this, you become weak. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you keep your eyes on him and your joy is in him, I'll tell you, he'll never disappoint you. He'll never let you down. There's no reason why you would grow weak. Because you can be strong, because your joy is in the Lord and the God of your salvation. But when we take our eyes of him, he said, listen, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, God, you had to get my attention. And God, you had to step into my life, and you had to deal with my heart, and now have I kept thy word. I tell you this, if that's true in your heart, then you are richly blessed by the experience of your affliction. If that is true of my heart, then I am richly blessed by the experience that God has brought me through. Before and now. It's an awful tragedy if it's just said, I went astray. And if that's where you are, and that's where you're stuck this morning, I tell you, you're miserable. But thank God if there's the now. I've kept your word. What a testimony. What a testimony. But as we look at what he prayed, very quickly, and I realize the time's away this morning, I can only touch on the start of this. Notice, I believe there are four principles of Jonah's prayer here. Four principles of Jonah's prayer. The very first one is honesty. And I tell you, that's a good place to start. Honesty. Let me tell you, here we find this prayer was starkly honest. You see, not only did Jonah acknowledge his misery, but he's honest before God because he acknowledges that God is there in his troubles. He acknowledges it's because of God's affliction. Now, let me tell you this. Jonah looks past the secondary cause. Oh, sometimes we look at the secondary cause instead of dealing with the problem. But I want to tell you, Jonah looks past the secondary cause. Now, you say, what's the secondary cause? Let me tell you. The man lifted Jonah and threw him in to the water. So Jonah could have said, listen, it's their fault. I'm in this situation because of them. How many people are running about today with a chip on their shoulder because they say, it's them. I'm the way I am because of them. I'm backslidden because of them. And friend, let me tell you, they excuse the situation that they're in because of others. Now, friend, you might think, if you're in that position today, you might think that that's a good excuse. I want to tell you this. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. You're only looking for a fig leaf to cover the situation that you're in. And I'll tell you what you need in a dose often this morning. If you're going to get anywhere with God today, you're going to have a good dose of honesty before God. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He said, I will look again, verse 4, unto thy holy temple. Friend, that means he was honest. He wasn't looking. He says, I've got to look again. Where are you looking this morning? Where are you looking this morning? Is your eyes upon the Lord today? Is he the one that is the very source of all your strength this morning in God's house? You see, he didn't look at the secondary cause. He looked at the first cause. And he knew that he was there because of his sin. And he knew he was there because of God dealing with his heart. Now, friend, be honest before God today. Here we see Jonah saw the hand of God in the midst of his affliction. And I'll tell you, if only men and women would recognize the hand of God in the events of their lives. You see, whenever we think about it, we think about the rod. And when we think about the rod, friend, we think about the pain. And we think about the suffering. Instead of thinking about what God is saying through it, what God is doing in it. Instead of saying, what do I need to correct in my lives? Why is God intervening in my life like this? God, would you show me the way that I might be a better person? That I might live closer to you? That I might be the one that you want me to be? That I might be that godly person in a perverse and sinful generation? Oh, that men would recognize the hand of God in the events of their lives. Far better, I read this week, far better to fall into the hands of God than to be apart from him. Wouldn't be an awful thing if God wasn't wanting to speak to you? Wouldn't be an awful thing if God wasn't wanting to deal with you? Wouldn't be an awful thing if God wasn't wanting to correct you? Wouldn't be an awful thing if God wasn't wanting to discipline you? God was saying, listen, I don't want anything to do with you. And Jonah, he throws himself and he realizes this is none other than the hand of God. I'm going to finish this morning. Turn back just to 2 Samuel as we close. 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's the last chapter of 2 Samuel. And you notice what David said. This is what David said. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hands of the Lord. For his mercies are great. And let us not fall into the hands of men. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arama, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. Notice, friend, about the rod of God. Verse 14. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let us not fall into the hand of men. You remember this, that when God is laying the rod upon you and me, that God's rod is tempered with mercy. His rod is tempered with mercy. And friend, I believe that Jonah felt the pain of separation from God that day. And he cried unto God. And I believe that Jonah was reaping what he sowed. I pray that God speaking to your heart and mine. Let's be honest, friend. Let's be honest. See, when honesty comes, we stop pretending. See, when honesty comes, friend, I tell you, you stop fooling. You stop looking for excuses. It's you and God. And if your heart's not right with God, friends, let me tell you, you need to get it right. And don't let anybody stand between you and God. Dear sinner, this morning I beg you in God's name, if you die in your sin and go to hell, friend, you'll not blame somebody else. It's your sin that will take you to hell. And it's your sin that will damn you there. May God turn you to the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Make your word that blessing to our hearts. And please, God, continue to challenge us through it. For Jesus' sake. And may our hearts be honest before thee. And may we get right with thee this day. In Jesus' name.